Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football here with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time. If you've got football questions, text them in, 710-710 to the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get in some of your questions before we let John go for the day. How's it going, John?
Good. How are you?
We're good. What do you think's going to happen out there in Philadelphia? Apparently, it's been made clear. It's now a final verdict that DeSean Jackson is a bit of an imbecile.
Yeah, a bit. Just a bit. I mean, with the racial slur that he put out today, you can see how mad the organization is. You can see how mad a lot of people are that I don't know if they're going to suspend him or anything else, but at least he's responding in the sense that, you know, they said, you better make some apologies. I know he called rabbis in Philadelphia and doing all that stuff, but it was inexcusable what he did. And, you know, he puts himself at the risk of a suspension. And, of course, any kind of a suspension, if it's upheld, if he challenges it, ends up now taking away the $440,000 guarantee he has in his contract and gives the Eagles the chance, if they wish, to cut him and just decide not to go. Now, he's already received a little bit of a roster bonus, but and it also would weaken their wide receiving core. But this is not good, and it's something that, you know, the league won't do anything. This is a team-oriented thing, and I think the team might consider doing something.
John, what if the defense gets a lot better and Russell Wilson and the Seahawks win a Super Bowl 2 years from now and he's the MVP? Will he expect then to get paid like Patrick Mahomes, you think?
Well, he's not up until 2024, so he's not going to be in a position to get anything there. And my guess would be, if they do anything, it would be, right on that last year, like it seems like it always is. So it'd be sometime in 2023. But what I would anticipate that he would have a chance to top Mahomes. I mean, the interesting part about the Mahomes contract, as massive as it appears, as massive as it is, I mean, this is one that's going to be jumped in about 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, think, for example, that you have, I mean, he's basically signed now for 12 years. Okay, so now he's taken the model of quarterbacks up to $45 million, which was great. But who's the next one that has a chance to do it? I would have to say it would be Dak Prescott on his next contract, certainly Deshaun Watson on his next contract, Russell Wilson on his next contract. They would be the three that would be able to jump the $45 million deal. And the interesting thing, to get the average up there, which is, of course, very flattering, I mean, this is a very team-friendly deal, because when you look at it, it's kind of like a reverse version of Tom Brady, you know, where Brady, after he gets the $18 million a year in 2010 to 2013, was taking discounted deals. Well, the way this works is that his numbers, for the most part, are reasonably flat as far as the cap. They do have the provisions in there to give him a little bit of extra security that they can guarantee his contract 2 years hence for about four times, and they do that on the third day of the league year. So he knows he's going to be set there and have guaranteed contracts. But after about 5, 6 years, it's then down to 1 year in advance, and toward the end, it's year to year as far as the guarantee if he's on the roster, which you know he's going to be on the roster. So I think this was a fair deal, because what it basically did is it gave the Chiefs the ability to try the best they can to keep the deal together. And the one thing that I observed in this was, you know, he doesn't get any more money until the third year of the contract. I mean, the $27.2 million he was scheduled to be paid over the next 2 years is in a different, with the signing bonus, and it was definitely put together, but it's still 27.2 for the next 2 years, and then he starts jumping.
Hey, John, Lee Steinberg's his agent, right?
That is correct.
So what does he get? What's the percentage an agent gets of a deal?
It used to be 5%. I think, wasn't it 5%, Dave, when you were playing? And then it dropped down to 3%, and it could be as low as 2%, based on how the Players Association has kind of taken away. But my guess, it would be 3%.
So 3% of $450 million. What's that, Professor?
That would be, what, 13.5? 135 million? Not bad.
Or 13.5 million? Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
okay,
13.5 million, yeah.
Let's say you're an NFL general manager right now, John, and you had to pay right this minute Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson. Which one of those two would you give the most to?
Deshaun Watson. He's the better quarterback of the two. I mean, where you look at Prescott, as good as he is, and you can see he's good enough to get you to 10, 11 wins, and I know his wins against replacement number is pretty good, but Watson's a better quarterback. He's taller. He's got the stronger arm. He's got more dynamics. And so Watson's the one because you knew that I'm still thinking that Prescott gets a deal done here in the next week, that he has a chance then to get about $35 million, where Watson's sitting in a position where, you know, he may not have gotten the $40 million, but is in a position to get more than $39 million. And, you know, I think you can see the way that the structure of that Mahomes deal is. In the first 3 years, you know, it's 39.3 on the average. And so that's I'm sure that that's going to be what Watson's going to be shooting for.
Where do you think the salaries? We were talking about this earlier, and Jim was speculating, you know, maybe we're looking a few years down the road where the quarterbacks are looking at $50 million a year, $60 million a year. There's got to be a line somewhere, John, where the salary cap is not going to keep up with that pace of the quarterback pay. So do you think we're reaching that point now where we're looking at the top, or do you think in 4 years we're going to look at this Mahomes deal and say, man, he's a bargain, and so-and-so is now making an average of $55 million a year?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, this isn't any different. Because, again, the reason that the average is so high is because he took 3 years down low. I mean, you know, he's making less than $30 million in the first – he's making, $31 million in the first 3 years of his contract. And that's why, to make it up, you have to put – you know, you kind of backload it a little bit. And, of course, he did give them, more flexibility. But, you know, basically a quarterback, if you have a team, you know, you need to have the quarterback paid, you know – no more than 15% of the cap. I know that Russell Wilson's contract's a little bit more than that, and certainly right now it's like 16%, but you don't want to go 18, 19%. That's why I think Dak Prescott gets a deal, because if not, you know, his 37.7 cap number next year for being a second-time franchise player would be about 18% of the cap, and you just can't do that. And so you basically take the position, and what's going to end up happening, even though the cap's not going to go up next year, and may go down, you know, it's going to be a big jump in 2022. I mean, certainly getting to over $220 million, because now you're starting to talk about the new TV contracts. Next year, you're going to be talking about the 17-game schedule. And so 22 is going to have the big bump. But ultimately, if you keep the quarterbacks, not by the average, but by the cap number, you know, around that 15% level, then you're going to be okay.
All right, John, speaking of cap, it sounds like on your show you talked a little bit about the Browns restructuring Olivier Vernon's contract, which is probably going to take him out of the running for Clowney for good, right?
No question about it, yeah. And I think that it's also telling in the sense that, $11 million. Because remember how everybody was talking about they were offering 17, and some thought the 17 offer was still on the table. Well, I think it's safe to say that it wasn't. And because I kept on hearing, I know Jason Lockenflora was the first one to put this out, that he was hearing in the last 3 weeks that the Browns were still offering, but it was down around $12 million a year. It's 1 year, $12 million deal. He's not going to sign a multi-year deal for half of what he was asking for. So it was like 1 year, $12 million. And so I think that that exerted pressure on Vernon, because now he gets a guaranteed deal, 1 year, $11 million to stay with the Browns. And that kills any chance of Clowney going to the Browns, even though, you know, now they have over $41 million of cap room. But, you know, it looks like Cleveland's out. And of course, just to give that update on the Raiders, you know, Mike Mayock's not as adamant about paying Clowney, so they've got an offer, but I'm sure it's less than $9 million, maybe $9 million, maybe $8.5.
John, you don't think he'd sit out the season, do you?
Good.
I mean, what would be the benefit of doing that?
Well, again, it's a different time right now. Because you can see baseball players, basketball players, you'll see some hockey players, yeah. They're opting out because of the virus and everything else. And, you know, with the fact that he's had a microfracture, he's had surgeries, you know, you can say that, I would say he's healthy for the most part, but he still would have probably pre-existing conditions. And so, you know, you take the tact, and I think you take it in two parts, because that's what I thought was so defining about the conversation that he had with Josina Anderson last week, that, it's like, I want to get a deal done before the start of the season. He didn't say training camp. And so if you're him and you're saying, I'm worth $22 million a year, you probably are angling to say, you know what, if I have to play for $8, $9, $10 million bucks, I'm going to wait till August I'm going to wait till the very last moment to be able to come in because, one, I don't want to risk getting the virus. I don't want to risk injury. I don't want to do this. And so, I mean, he could set out the season, and there will be some players, I think, that will do it. But at this stage, you know, I think that he may be more of an August signing late than he is going to be a pre-camp signing. But, again, what it does, it creates the inevitable thing that, okay, so who is left for Clowney? You got Tennessee. Tennessee paid Vic Beasley, a linebacker, $9.5 million. So you figure that they're not going to pay more than $9.5 million. And then you've got Seattle, who's, you know, started at $13, $14 million and then ended up getting up at one point to $16 million. You know, maybe they can be able to get him at $10 million. Remember, they paid him, what, $8 million last year because $7 million was paid by the Houston Texans.
Yeah, that worked out well. Houston Texans, still not sure what they're thinking. But, John, and again, if you've got questions for John, you can text him into 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. The 360 wants to know, is there a new update? What's the latest update on Will Dissly?
Seems to be fine. I mean, he's still coming along off the Achilles surgery, and you know he had it, I think, early enough that you know I don't know if he's going to be. He might be ready for the start of training camp. He may not. Certainly, they're going to be very cautious about it. But so far, so good as far as Dissly.
All right, John. I'm looking at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, the new stadium down there. Have we heard any progress? Because I remember, John, during the preseason last year, Brian O'Connell, who is our executive producer, going, man, I sure don't want to be the first one in there. Because, you know, usually stadiums have lots of kinks that they have to work out and things like that. But what do you hear as far as progress goes on their stadium down there?
It's going to be tight. But, you know, I guess the one thing that at least helps Brian out, and I think everybody else, is that's the first preseason game, and it's most likely not going to be played. If there is going to be any preseason games played, because you know the thought is they're going to eliminate 1-4, and it's going to have to be some adjustments because you got to make sure if you're going to have two preseason games, you have a home and an away game. Players Association basically, I think, is going to win this battle that I don't think there's going to be any preseason games. So that buys a little bit more time, but it's getting tight. I mean, very tight.
By the way. Yeah, I was going to say, John, really quick, I'm looking at video inside. Remember they used to light that hokey little torch, and it was like they were up in the corner, and it was just like this little tiny I see this metal one that they've gotten. It's a lot bigger anyway, so that part will be better. But I always thought that was so weird that somebody would stand there holding this little tiny flame out in the end zone when they'd start their games. It was kind of like their version of the 12th man flag, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very different. But it's going to be interesting to see how they change because, I mean, they have such avid fans that you know, be in the parking lot for the pregame and do the tailgating and all that fun stuff. But it's going to be interesting to see how they change that around.
Quentin Dunbar has added a second lawyer to his criminal defense team from the incident down there in Florida. John, the longer this goes, and with this news today, does that lead you to believe that he might not be playing for the Seahawks this year?
Hard to tell because, you know, you can look at the situation that was there with Michael Kendricks. And, you know, Kendricks still hasn't gotten his sentencing yet. And so, you know, the courts are all backed up. We all understand that. And so, you know, now the league would have to make a determination both on he and DeAndre Baker because now it looks like, you know, they'll have to make a decision whether they're going to be allowed to be there or they have to be on the exempt list or anything of that nature. So, but, you know, the fact that he hired an extra lawyer and lawyering up now tells you that this is going to take more time and it's not going to be probably there for the start of training camp.
John, I'm seeing this story here that the NFL Players Association has informed its board of player reps that the league wants to place 35% of player salaries in escrow in order to help manage costs during the 2020 season. How do you think they're going to feel about that?
What you're seeing, this is not like baseball, and certainly it's not as good as basketball in the NBA, but what you're seeing is that there's a lot of negotiation just to get this thing done. Like, for example, for revenue, the owners want, you know, the two preseason games and also want to have the ability to see, okay, if we don't have the preseason games, you know, what we can do. But also want to have, you know, test runs for road games and home games where the players are saying, hey, it's like, why should we risk our bodies both with injuries, because injuries are going to be massive this year with no off-season programs. I mean, they're saying that hamstring injuries back in 2011 were up 40%. It was 50% or 100% increase as far as Achilles tendon tears. And so it's like, why risk it when you want to try to make sure that you want to get everybody ready for their games that count? And so, players said no to coming in a week before camp with some rookies and quarterbacks and things of that nature. So this is just a swap. And sometime this week, they'll get everything done. They did have the cooperation on getting some more things done today, as far as the protocols. I mean, they're still going back and forth as far as masks or mandatory mask or no mask, but this is all in negotiations. But, it's not negative, but, don't overread it because they'll get something done.
Hey, I saw Mahomes said that he will be staying off jet ski and basketball courts.
That's encouraging.
And he says, I don't think I'm allowed to play basketball. I'm sure baseball's not going to be allowed as well. There's lots of things that they're prohibited from doing. But, he said, I'm going to be sticking to football and video games for a while now. But, man, I used to get in good shape playing and, like, pick up basketball games. Do most guys have that or only the ones with that many zeros on it in their contracts that they can't play, basketball and ride a jet ski and whatnot?
Yeah, I'm sure, the bigger the contract, the more restrictions that are there because you certainly, can't lose a quarterback to something that's not right. And so, yeah, I don't have to think that's going to be something that's got to be in consideration. But overall, I think, let's put it this way, Mahomes is one of the best guys you could ever be. And he's a good family man, a good person and all that stuff. And, he'll be cautious because he realized there's so much on the line.
John, I like this story out of Pittsburgh. James Conner, he bought a truck for his dad last year, and he bought a new home for his mom recently this week. I'll bet that he's well-liked in Pittsburgh, having played there at Pittsburgh and being a Steelers running back. So what's the word on Conner?
Oh, he's a good guy. I mean, the way he was able to fight cancer, the players like him a lot. I mean, so he's had some injury issues and all that stuff, but he's very, very popular. And, of course, what's going to be interesting to see is that he, like nine other guys, including Chris Carson, are running backs from that draft 2017 whose contracts are up. And my guess is, I think he'll give them a team friendly type of deal. He's not going to be asking for the, the big money or anything like that. But, it's now up to the Steelers to find a way to re-sign him.
Hey, John, is there an official set of expectations when it comes to fans for the NFL season? I was getting confused between baseball and football. I knew one of the leagues was going to allow a certain amount of fans or try to allow a certain amount of fans, depending on what was happening in that particular state. Is there a blanket policy in place right now?
No, NFL has basically taken the position that there is no blanket policy. It has to be between the team and the city or county or state that they are in. And so it's all going to be worked out locally as opposed to nationally because they realize, you're going to have some teams that have the ability to do it. You have other teams, like, for example, it's already got a roadblock in Buffalo. Buffalo's basically said no. Nobody in the stands. And so, no, it's an individual thing, not a league thing.
All right, John. With the Seahawks, offensive line, we talked a little bit about that. And it's just going to be difficult, I feel like, for Mike Solari. How well-respected is Mike Solari around the league? Because I talked to Howard Mudd about him, and he just loves him, thinks that he's one of the best. But he's probably going to be the one coach with the spotlight on him this year because, that's a pretty raw group there. Or not raw, but, everybody's new, coming in from different places. And probably at the end of the year, we're going to know whether or not he was able to get that done.
Yeah, no, he's probably, he's not number one because then you're looking at Mike Munchak and a couple guys like that. But he's certainly got to be in the top five, six, or seven, because he's well-respected. He's done well. In all the places that he's been, I know his one stay in the Giants wasn't that good, but it wasn't his fault. He didn't have any talent to be able to work with. That's on the Giants front office. But no, he's really well respected, and you can see how good he is now. And I think this could be a group that could, it's going to take a while because they haven't had an off season together and haven't done anything together yet. But I think that he likes big. He likes to, get the running going, and, what a meticulous type of guy he is as far as working all the techniques. So he's a good one.
Bruce Arians, you see his comments today, John? He said the players are all going to get sick. It's just a matter of how sick they're going to get. Do you agree with him? Is that going to be the case?
No.
Yeah, I hope not, too.
Yeah, that's one where it's like, Bruce, don't be saying those things, because remember, you're in that age group where you're going to be in question for being on the field. So it's like, come on, you know, don't wish for anything. And again, that I still warn everybody, once we get to the 28th, and unless some of the players start to come in before the 28th, with right now it's no. I mean, watch the number of positive tests, because it's going to be, if it's just 5%, you're still talking 150 players. That's just got to be realized. But let's hope the numbers are low, and let's kind of take those comments away, Bruce.
You wouldn't expect to see any coaches opt out, right? Because you talk about age group. He's there. Obviously, Pete is there. Bill Belichick. You've got a couple of others. Have we heard anything about any coaches with apprehension about the season?
Not yet, but we will. I mean, you saw that Scott Servais took three coaches who were either older or had a pre-existing position, and have them working in a different area or a different part of the team. And I'm sure that is going to be some things that they have to look at, because, you know, what you don't want to have is an older coach or a coach with a pre-existing condition to get something that could knock them out. So that's still too early to be determined. I mean, coaches are all filtering back this week, and I'm sure now they'll start to think about that and see if, you know, what older coaches, you know, can do it. But again, the head coaches, they're all planning on being there.
That's much, much, much more important for over 70, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Certainly way more of a risk than there is for the players. But you talked a little bit about today who's under with Sean Salisbury. I was listening. More pressure to win in New England, Bill Belichick or Cam Newton? I think that's a great question.
Yeah.
And I think it's Bill Belichick.
I do too.
I don't really expect that much from Cam Newton. He's coming off an injury. So, I'm very interested to see how that plays out. You think it's the pressure's on Belichick?
Yeah, because, I mean, Tom Brady, you would anticipate, is going to add at least two wins to the Bucs. That gets him to at least 9 and puts him in position for a wild card. But, I mean, you know, whatever he does is on a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in 9 consecutive years. So it's like anything that he does is a bonus, and all the expectation for the Patriots is that, okay, they lose 4 key players on defense. You know, they lose Tom Brady. They're right against the cap right now. So there's a lot of things working against them, and they haven't upgraded their wide receiver position. So, it was going to be more of a challenge, but I think the Cam Newton gift, and I call it a gift because, you know, to get a former MVP for $1.75 million is remarkable, and it does give them a chance to change into a running team that Bill Belichick wants. It's funny because, you know, everybody continues to keep talking about, you know, let Russell cook. Well, guess what? You know, if they go with the running game, it's going to be very much exactly like you see here in Seattle. It'll maybe some different formations because they'll go 2 back, 2 tight end. But, they'll change from a Tom Brady passing team to a Bill Belichick running team.
John, we appreciate it. As always, we'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. The Professor John Clayton with us every day. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, just download the podcast at 710sports.com.